Welcome to Two Guys and a Question, where Danny Jefferson and Alan Creedy challenge conventional thinking by fielding questions for more than 1,000 subscribers, all in less than 12 minutes an episode.
This is Danny Jefferson.
This is Alan Creedy.
This is Two Guys and a Question, and today's question is, I heard you use a statement, Alan, recently, and it was rather provocative. I want to know what you mean by merchandising your service charge.
Oh, yeah, it is provocative, and it is also confusing. And now I've reached a point where I use that term to provoke.
And how did you, look, I will have to say, I knew what you were talking about.
You're one of few.
Right, because I love doing it. It is easy to understand. Yeah. But very few people implement.
So, Danny, let's roll the clock back 20 years. And all the casket companies were rolling around, and they were charging anywhere from nothing to $50,000 to merchandise your selection room. And there were dozens of self-styled casket and merchandising and urn merchandising experts and so on and so forth. And now we have reached a point where over 60% of people using funeral homes, either use very little merchandise or none at all. So how can that be effective? And I went, and I, being somewhat of a cynic, I started going around to people, and that's how I found you, frankly, if you remember.
Right.
I said, what are you doing to merchandise your service charge? And what I got from the overwhelming majority of people was blank looks. What do you mean? I don't understand, et cetera, et cetera. From people like you, I started to get glimmers of answers, and in connecting that whole thing, I came up with the statement or phrase, merchandising your service charge, which is theoretically this, you know, we merchandised our merchandise. Now, how do we merchandise our service charge? Which to me is the thing that must happen for funeral homes to prosper and be vital.
When we... on a previous podcast, we're talking about a competitive assessment mm-hmm. analysis and working with our clients.
Yeah.
When we were doing that for several different funeral homes,
yeah.
the basic service charge was all over the place.
Well, it was all over the place. It always is, as you found out. But when it comes to merchandising your service charge, the prices are irrelevant.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
What I'm talking about is a process and a system of engagement with the family in a way that you are recognized as someone who is helping, a trusted advisor in some respect. You're being assertive without being manipulative. You're being helpful, and they therefore will frequently, and you can testify. I'm going to let you testify on this. Frequently can dramatically improve your service profile simply by helping people discover what they really want instead of encouraging them to resist what you have to offer.
In any arrangement conference, probing questions are extremely important.
Well, probing questions, frankly, are the cornerstone.
Exactly.
If you don't ask questions, and I hear you say it all the time, if your sentences are ending in a period, you're talking too much.
Right.
And you know that it's an unnatural thing for a lot of funeral directors, but there's a lot more listening in merchandising your service charge than there is telling. In fact, it's almost exclusively listening.
It's not funny, but it is revealing that on quite a few, in fact, most of my visits as unannounced and someone not knowing who I was and yep. being in a funeral home, it's amazing the soapboxes that they get on to stand and try to tell me what I need, tell me what I have to buy, tell me what I will spend, and never one time ask me what I might want.
Yeah. And they're missing a critical factor in there. But Danny, let's give an illustration for our audience, and then we'll end this. One of the competitive assessments we recently did involved a phone shopping. All right, we engaged an outsider to phone shop firms. Previously, we had gone into these firms on site, and one particular firm stood out as being abysmal. And the shopper actually said, under no circumstances would they ever darken those doors again. On the phone shop, we got actually the reverse. And I think it would be help the audience to understand what made the difference.
When we were looking at it, we looked at the director that answered the phone on the phone continued to engage the caller.
Right.
By asking
How
questions.
How did he engage? He asked questions.
Simple and plain.
And what was the phone shopper said something about what how that made him feel?
He was interested in him.
Yeah.
He was interested in him. And if you look at any of the booths that were in Baltimore, they were all selling the same thing. They were mm-hmm. all the same stuff they've been selling for 20 years. As an owner, who did you buy from? You almost always bought from someone that engaged you, that liked you, that asked the correct questions, that wanted to know how you were going to use their product in your business.
And so one of the takeaways we've had from these various competitive assessments has been everybody's pretty much doing the same thing. And as a consequence, nobody's really engaging the customer, either in person or on the phone. And so the first person that does that is going to see a decided advantage.
And if you can keep any phone shopper on the phone for any length of time at all, or if you can engage someone that comes in, even if it's a pre-need or an inquisitive visit, the longer you can engage them, the more chances are they're going to use your phone.
Well, and the gospel that's come down from the mountain by Danny Jefferson, not Moses, is you engage them by questions, not talking.
Right. Every bit of it. And this is Danny Jefferson.
And I'm Alan Creedy.
You can do it.
And we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.